Hello, hello, and welcome to In Practopia, that People, Places, Things Caribbean show. My name is Kim Jean. It's another week, and I'm glad that you're here with me. We're continuing our Woman Messenger series, and on today's show, my guest is Dr. Joan Latchman, Director of the Seismic Research Unit at the University of the West Indies down in Trinidad. And we're talking about volcanoes and earthquakes in the Caribbean. What she does and her call to action for people to be aware of these activities and also to communicate with her unit whenever they feel any kind of shakes, rattles, and rolls, all in keeping the Caribbean safe against these disasters. Also on the show, we have Did You Know? The Caribbean Plate. We'll end the show with the announcement of next week's guest. So let's get started.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say thank you enough to the women who have come on and who will grace In Practopia with their presence. Women who are really making a difference in their communities, being ones who cause positive change. And it's all what In Practopia is about, to spotlight people, places, and things that contribute to the positive growth of the entire Caribbean. It's been my dream for a long time, and I'm so happy that finally I'm able to do that. Let me remind you that In Practopia is available for download on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We also welcome reviews, comments, feedback on our website at www.inpractopia.com. Time now for Did You Know? The Caribbean Plate is a mostly oceanic tectonic plate underlying Central America and the Caribbean Sea off the north coast of South America. Roughly 3.2 million square kilometers, or 1.2 million square miles in area, the Caribbean Plate borders the North American Plate, the South American Plate, the Nazca Plate, and the Cocos Plate. These borders are regions of intense seismic activity, including frequent earthquakes, occasional tsunamis, and volcanic eruptions. Subduction forms the volcanic islands of the Lesser Antilles volcanic arc from the Virgin Islands in the north to the islands off the coast of Venezuela in the south. This boundary contains 17 active volcanoes, most notably Soufre Hills on Montserrat, Mont Pelee on Martinique, La Grande Soufriere on Guadeloupe, Soufriere St. Vincent on St. Vincent, and the submarine volcano Kikamjeni, which lies about 10 kilometers north of Grenada. This little bit of information came courtesy of Wikipedia, and there's just so much information on the Caribbean Plate, how it was formed, its migration pattern, and, you know, it's just good to know what we're standing on. It's now my pleasure to bring to you my chat with Dr. Joan Latchman, Director of the Seismic Research Unit down in Trinidad, a woman who clearly loves what she's doing and is ready to sound the horn as loud as she can about earthquakes and volcanoes, the importance of us being aware of their existence in the region, and what measures we should take to minimize the effects of when and not if they happen.
We are responsible for monitoring the seismic, that is the earthquake, and volcanic activity from Trinidad in the south to St. Kitts in the north. And in doing that work, we collect the data, we do the research, we have published papers, we have written reports for the governments that we serve, and we continue to advise on these hazards and respond in virtually a real-time way as necessary so that these territories are on the ball with regard to the hazards to which they are exposed.
So yeah, and recently Trinidad had some activity, and also St. Lucia.
Can you talk to me about the placement of the island in terms of plates and how earthquakes manages to impact the region?
So the Caribbean is a small plate within what may be described as a jigsaw of plates that make up the Earth's crust. And we are tucked between the North American and South American plate, and we are moving relative to those plates eastwards. Because the Caribbean crust is less dense than the North American crust, the boundary of the Caribbean plate on the east is a subduction zone. This means that the North American crust is sinking beneath the Caribbean crust. So this gives rise to the earthquakes that we see in the eastern Caribbean and the volcanoes. So each of the islands from Grenada to Saba have at least one volcano. And Dominica has at least nine. Dominica has the distinction of having the highest concentration of volcanoes anywhere in the world.
What does that mean?
So,
I'm not aware that Dominica actually has, or am I, that Dominica has volcanoes or anything active in that respect?
okay, so in the geological sense, each island has a live volcano. So it may not be currently active, but it has the potential to become active. So that's what it means. So Dominica has at least nine such centers, whereas currently the other islands have one.
Is there any threat of any kind of serious volcanic action happening anytime soon?
That is really the crux of the matter. It is the time frame. The Caribbean plate is moving very slowly. It's 2 centimeters per year that the convergence between the North American and Caribbean plate is taking place. And that is the rate at which your fingernails grow. So very slowly indeed. And because of friction, strain energy accumulates at the boundaries. And so we use this term very broadly when we say return period, because it's not exact. It's not like every 10 years you can expect an earthquake of a particular size. So on average, you would expect your major earthquakes, that is those earthquakes that are of magnitude 7 to 7.9, they occur somewhere in the region every 20 to 30 years. And the biggest earthquakes, those of magnitude 8 and above, they appear to occur every 100 or so years. And we are basing this on 500 years of written accounts and instrumental recordings just in the last century of the activity that we have had, of that type of activity that we have had in the region. So the volcanic eruptions have been few. So everyone knows about the 1902 eruptions of the Soufriere of Saint Vincent and Pilée of Martinique. And then we had a non-explosive dome building is what we describe it as, eruption in Saint Vincent in 1972. And then there was an explosive eruption in Saint Vincent in 1979. There was a phreatic eruption in Guadeloupe in 76. And we have had similar activity in Dominica right now. The year escapes me. But we all also know about the ongoing activity that we have had at the Soufrière Hills volcano in Montserrat. It's been quiet for several years now. So we continue to watch that to try to assess just what that volcano is doing. So to say soon, it with a volcano, it's difficult to say because the activity, for instance, with the Montserrat volcano, we would see earthquakes associated with that volcano every 20 to 30 years. And that was going on since around the turn of the 20th century, 1899 onwards. Every 20 to 30 years, you would get this increase in the numbers of earthquakes associated with that volcano called volcanic earthquakes. And these are distinct from those earthquakes that occur as a result of the plates moving, which are described as tectonic earthquakes. Mm-hmm. And then before the first eruption in 1995, the first phreatic eruption in Montserrat in 1995, there were earthquakes ongoing from 1992. So in general, we expect that the volcanoes, before they do something at the surface, they would begin to show signs and symptoms of unrest.
Okay.
Manifested by elevated seismic activity leads to surface eruption.
Okay.
So we can have these periods of seismic unrest associated with the volcano, and then they go quiet again.
So as far as earthquakes and tremors go, is that something, it happens quite often, is that a fair statement? Because I remember when I was growing up, you know, sometimes we would feel stuff, people wouldn't know what it was. People would jot it down to heavy equipment on the roads, or they probably wouldn't even feel it. But it's fair to say that these things happen all the time.
Yes, all the time may give the wrong impression. For instance, in St. Lucia, we may see one of those small earthquakes associated with the volcano. Some years, one every 2 months. Other years, we may see 4 or 5 a month. Some years are just busier than other years. You may even want to look at these systems as having characters of their own.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, you see almost nothing associated with the system. So, for instance, the Kikemgeni volcano, which is a submarine volcano off the north coast of Grenada, mm-hmm. 9 kilometers north of Grenada. And that volcano tends to be very quiet, and then it erupts. Of course, having said that, we would note, the caveat is that our nearest station was in Grenada. Many years ago, we were able to install stations closer to the Kikemgeni. So now, if anything is happening, small events that may not have propagated to the station in Grenada, we would see them. So in general, that is a very quiet system until it's ready to erupt. However, the last eruption in 2001 manifested something very different. And we had many small earthquakes associated with that period of unrest prior to the eruption.
Wow. Dr. Latchman, can you say that your work is exciting? It's more technical. Talk to me about your day-to-day, what it's like in the seismic unit.
Okay, so my career at the Seismic Research Center now, we were a unit when I joined, and I joined on the technical staff.
Mm-hmm.
So in those years, it was data collection and data processing. So that was the job. And for me, it has always been an interesting job.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on your perspective, you might say that I came in at a time fortuitously, when they were just coming out of the 1972 dome building eruption in St. Vincent.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were doing a scan of the submarine volcano, Kikemgeni. And then in 1974, there was the Antigua earthquake, the major earthquake in Antigua, well, between Antigua and Barbuda. And then in 79, there was the eruption of the Soufrière in St. Vincent. So that decade for me was routine and exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very interesting time. And I was afforded the opportunity to work and study, so I was able to get my degrees and become qualified in seismology.
Mm-hmm.
And so, whereas in those days it was data collection and data processing, I then got into the research aspect of it, analyzing the data and trying to come up with an understanding of why we are having the earthquakes in the way that we have them. So some of my work has looked at earthquake forecasting. My particular area of research has been Tobago. And here again, in 1982, there was a sequence of earthquakes near Tobago that led up to a main shock.
Uh-huh.
And at the time, I was still on the technical staff, but had gotten my first degree. So I was assisting in analyzing those data with one of our researchers. And he was testing an earthquake forecasting technique. And so I was the one to process the data in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so the scientists at that time were able to advise the authorities that this series of events appeared to be leading to one of magnitude at least 5. And they advised the authorities of that 3 days before the event occurred.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another fairly exciting part of the work that mm-hmm. in which I was involved. And then I was later able to take that technique and while I was working on my master's and apply it to another series of events near Tobago.
Uh-huh.
And we were able to recognize that even though there had been strong earthquake, a moderate earthquake, west of Tobago, larger than any that had occurred near Tobago before,
mm-hmm.
that you might think it was the main shock, that the series of events was actually leading to something even bigger. And there again, the technique worked. So the work is, we do have the routine.
Mm-hmm.
We service requests from people in understanding the activity. So we recognized several years ago that it is important to get the message out
yes.
to the communities. So we are very involved in education and outreach activities and giving presentations to people and involved in their preparedness campaigns. So that is part of what I do. I am also involved in overseeing the day-to-day operations and keeping track of the activity as it happens on a daily basis to recognize if there are any changes happening with the activity, which I also track on, again, daily. I have developed a technique for tracking the mm-hmm. patterns in the seismicity to see just how it's developing and what we might expect associated with each of our seismic zones.
Wow. I'm looking at you, Dr. Latchman, and you seem to be a very calm, cool kind of individual. Talk to me about the kind of character or the kind of personality who is best suited for a career in seismology.
I think my opinion is mm-hmm. that you need someone who is very meticulous,
mm-hmm.
who pays careful attention to detail, does not become bored with having to maintain the standards required of high quality data year in, year out, even when there is no excitement.
Uh-huh.
It is war has often been described as what a long period of boredom punctuated by those periods of excitement. Seismology and our work is like that. So we will have several years where it's just painstakingly collecting the data, processing it, ensuring that the standards are maintained. And then you have your crisis, whether it be volcanic or earthquake. So yes, it is that kind of person, recognizing that the seismic cycle is long,
mm-hmm.
and to be able to fully understand what is happening, we must have a database of high quality. And that, so at the technical level, you are making your contribution there to a database of the highest quality. And then when you come to the research, here again,
mm-hmm.
somebody who meticulous, giving that close attention to detail and is very interested in not just the now, but in the long term. Because our region, I think the Caribbean and the mm-hmm. Eastern Caribbean in particular, we are making countries
uh-huh.
of people from all parts of the world. We have had the opportunity to build something almost from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have the opportunity to look at the mistakes that may have been made by countries in other parts of the world and have the opportunity to not make those same mistakes. We are also not very wealthy countries, so we have to spend our money wisely. So we must not ignore the hazards to which we are exposed, because we would do that to the detriment of our future. It is one thing to look at the superficial and to want the skyline and the tall buildings to look as if we are developed.
Mm-hmm.
But one great earthquake in our region can set us back a generation if we do not put the measures in place to ensure that when that event occurs, that our damage is limited and that we have the measures in place to rebuild rapidly and move forward quickly.
I would gather that that is an important message of your unit, and you're trying to spread that at any opportunity that you get. And I like to say that as Caribbean people, that we are experts in matters that affect our lives. So I'm so happy that you're saying that.
The challenge is to get action. Because some people think this is God's work and you're trying to interfere in God's work.
Mm-hmm.
And others feel overwhelmed at the prospect of a large magnitude earthquake and, well, what can you do? But we have to keep citing that places like Chile and Japan have been very effective in the measures that they have put in place. And we can be like Chile and Japan.
What kind of measures are you, what does that mean specifically?
It means there's something called the building code, because in fact, earthquakes do not generally kill people. It is the buildings that kill people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you build your buildings to be earthquake resistant, then even though they are damaged, they don't collapse and they don't kill thousands of people. And that's what needs to be done. We need to have the building code developed, legislated, and the measures put in place to enforce the building code so that our built environment would be as earthquake resistant as possible, so that when that earthquake occurs, and you will notice I say when and
yes,
not if,
mm-hmm,
when it occurs, our buildings would fare such that our population is not devastated.
And you know, we can't afford to have our population devastated or reduced at any cost. We're too small for that, I think.
Indeed. And there have been some serious examples. The Armenian earthquake in 1988, for example. They lost, I think it is about 80% of their medical professionals during that earthquake, just
wow,
as at the time they were most needed. And it just emphasizes the importance of ensuring a earthquake-resistant built environment, because you really want to preserve your people. Whatever may happen to the buildings, as long as you have your people,
yes,
you can recover. And if your buildings are well enough built, you can recover quickly.
Right, because we are our most valuable resource. That is our people.
Indeed.
And already a lot of the islands are underpopulated. We have a lot of issues with, you know, brain drain and all of that kind of good resource base. So we don't need that kind of disaster taking us away any more than we do ourselves. So, Dr. Latchman, on your website, I noticed that there is an option for people who experience any kind of seismic activity, any earthquake or volcanic effects, can actually send in and let you know what they felt. What is that that specifically for?
At this time, we are creating a database. We must have the data to inform, whether it's your research, whatever, you must have the data. So these felt reports allow us to identify areas that may be more prone to shaking.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have areas for the same earthquake at the same distance from the earthquake may feel shaking more than others.
Okay.
And so we are building this database to understand how the earthquake, wherever it may occur, influences and impacts areas more distant from it. In time, these maps, because we create isoseismal maps for the bigger earthquakes,
mm-hmm,
may be used by hazard preparedness sections, so your disaster preparedness office and so on,
mm-hmm.
to anticipate the areas that may be more vulnerable. So when we have felt reports and you compare it with what you've seen in the past, you have an idea of what you can expect in the various areas given an earthquake of a certain size at a certain distance.
I wanted to just get your thoughts on the need for young people to venture into science and research in the region.
Oh yes, it is very important. I think it is important, as I was saying earlier, that we have an opportunity to build our countries. And in that regard, if we are building, then we should be the ones developing the understanding of our peoples. Never forget, should always bear in mind, that our peoples are different from any other peoples in the world, because we are a mixture of peoples from all over the world. And research done in other parts of the world may not necessarily be directly applicable to us. Of course, in the earthquake area, that is not quite so, because it's one earth. So there are different areas that we can pursue. And we should take responsibility for understanding and advising. Caribbean people should be telling Caribbean people about Caribbean people. We shouldn't have Europeans and Americans and Chinese coming to tell us.
In my head, that just went on replay and repeat. And I thank you for amplifying that, because I really believe that we are the ones who can forge our future, and we're the ones who need to get involved actively in spreading the word on what is best for us in the Caribbean region. So, Dr. Latchman, I thank you so much for helping me spread that, and in the work that you do in keeping the Caribbean safe and aware of the dangers of volcanoes and earthquakes.
It is our pleasure. Thank you so much for giving the Seismic Research Center the opportunity to get this message out.
It is my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Woman Messenger Dr. Joan Latchman, for talking with me. This information is invaluable for anybody in the region, anybody who originates from the region or does work or wants to relocate to the Caribbean. This is vital to know that we have a department that is constantly monitoring seismic and volcanic activity in the region. It's also good to know that Dr. Latchman and her staff, their unit received the Vice Chancellor's Award for Excellence for the exceptional work that they do. So, Dr. Latchman, to you and your staff, thank you so much for all that you're doing. Well, that's our show for this week. I want to thank you for staying throughout, and I hope you will join me next week when we have Women Messengers times two. The ladies Flynn, Paula and Leah. Paula, proud mother of a 7-year-old violin player who is labeled as a prodigy. It's going to be an absolute treat. I hope you join me next week. You can also find us on Twitter at Impractopia, on Facebook, www.facebook.com/Impractopia. And as always, we're always there at www.impractopia.com. My name is Kim Zha. I'll be right here next time in Impractopia.